Why do you say that, Father? You aren't afraid, are you?
No. But I respect some of the superstitions of others. Often they are founded in fact.
Broadcasting from our Sanctum Sanctorum in Venice, California, this is the Sixth Sense Society. I'm your host, Krista, here with our producer, Michael, and today you are tuning in to Spell It Out, Magic, Reflections, and Shadows, where I take a topic and run with it. So the topic today I've chosen is a very dear and special topic to me, and it's going to be a tribute to our magical little dove, Sister Claire, who left her physical body very recently, and we've had her for 10 years. She was a very beautiful spirit and really taught us a lot. So I thought I'd do a tribute to her. But before we get started, Michael has a few announcements.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our show. We have our next episode coming up is Men in Black. We had to reschedule it because of Claire's passing. We just didn't feel like doing a show the day after that happened. So our friend Earl Grey Anderson was very gracious and has let us reschedule. So that will be coming up next week. After that, we are going to take a little bit of a longer hiatus because Krista and I are in the process of moving to Bakersfield. So we're going to be dealing with moving trucks and all that good stuff. So we'll be off the second part of March through the end of April just to get situated and then back in May with new episodes. So if you miss us for a few weeks, that's what's going on. So get all the information on our show on our website, sixthsensesociety.com, S-A-X-T-H, all spelled out. While you're there, if you can afford to, buy us a coffee on Ko-Fi. We very much appreciate it. And we have set up a GoFundMe for our trip to Bakersfield to help cover some of the costs. So if you feel so inspired, I know we already reached our goal. So thank you to all our friends and who donated so generously, but there's still a lot of out-of-pocket costs. So you'll get that link in the description. So if you do feel so inclined, go for it. But if not, we love you anyway, and we're more than happy to have you on board. But the most important thing, click like and subscribe, and that really helps us the most. So I'm going to kick it back to you, Krista, because we have a lot going on. So take it away, Krista.
Great. Thank you so much, Michael. Yeah, I just decided this sort of at the last minute that this would be something that Sister Claire would approve of, I think, even though she was not at all vain. I thought I'd start a little bit with her story of how she came to us, because that was really interesting, and how she got her name. She was a rescued dove, rescued by the same amazing woman who brought us our Lily Crow. And she had been released into the wild, even though she's a little white dove and they're not really made to be in the wild. And so if you release them, they die. And so according to what I know about her origin story, this woman had two doves and she just got tired of them and just released them. And luckily, the woman who helped us with, who brought us Lily, actually, she was around and there was some other people, and they were very easy to rescue because they're very docile creatures. And so Sister Claire would not have survived. But we didn't get her right away. My friend kept, calling me and saying, what a lovely little bird this is, how sweet the dove is. And her name was Crystal. And at one point she said, well, would you mind babysitting her? And we thought, sure, we don't mind babysitting her. And so she brought her over. And as soon as Michael saw her, he fell in love with her. And I did too. But Michael initially really said, no, she's not going back. See, where she's with us, even though we had also at that point already we had a crow. So we would kid around. We have War and Peace in our house. And so when she came in, she was a little bit nervous. And so we didn't keep her in a cage. In fact, she rarely lived in a cage, which only for her protection. She did not like cages in general. So she roamed the house freely and she had her favorite spots. But when she first came, she would fly up to this little ledge I have on my wall, and she would sit next to an icon of Saint Francis. And she did it so often, and she had arrived right before Easter in 2010 that I felt her name was Sister Claire, who many of you that know Saint Francis was a close associate of Saint Francis. and was also a beautiful human being who originally was of noble birth and left all of that to be with the Franciscan order. So that's how she got her name. She told me it. I really felt so that we called her Sister Claire from then on. And so it took her, you know, probably at least a year or more to really start coming down and visiting us on her own. And we always, one of the things we do with our birds that are, you know, out, because we have a couple that are, it's better for them to be in a cage, the zebra finches, is we let them decide when they want to visit us and spend time with us. And we just let them be themselves. And she became, got to the point, she really trusted us. And so we got to know the life of a dove, including, you know, the egg laying period, which was a little bit stressful of anyone that has birds that lay eggs, but she did very well. And in fact, she was in good health most of her life. And we recently found out that she was probably 3 or 4 when we got her, so that she passed at the age of 13 or 14, which is a very decent amount of time for a dove, though you still, it still hurts when you lose your animals. I don't call them pets anymore. They're really family. And in our case, we truly feel the birds have taught us things. And we follow that indigenous idea that the animals that come into your life are basically here to teach you something. And it is fascinating because neither Michael and I had ever had any doves in our lives. And I used to sort of watch the mourning doves outside and thought they were beautiful. But I learned so much about doves from her and from just being with her. And she absolutely loved almost everyone. I mean, it's just, she was a very loving little soul. So that was how she came to us. And, you know, I would say that one of the things I learned was when she came to me, I'd been living in Los Angeles for a little while at that point. And when I was younger, I was just completely open and I probably trusted people too easily. I even had a Buddhist friend tell me I was too forgiving. And I probably was, but I had really withdrawn too much from that character of myself and instead of just becoming discerning. And so when Sister Claire came into my life, she taught me how to be vulnerable again. There was just something so gentle and open about her spirit that it was really okay at times to be vulnerable. And and the symbolism you'll find with most of the animals, whether they're birds or mammals, they're based on the observation of the animal. So you can see why they're associated with the things they're associated with. But that doesn't mean that she never got aggressive. She was a little territorial when we had a rescued baby crow for a while who tried to take over one of her favorite perches, which is this huge cattle skull that I have. And she sort of puffed up and knocked the crow away, or tried to. So all birds are strong-willed, and most birds have some sense of having a territory, particularly when she was laying her eggs. But she was very hands-on, like you could pick her up and she would come and sit on your leg, and she would have breakfast with me. So she was very much interactive in my life on her own terms, because sometimes she would go through periods where she didn't want to for some reason. I just accepted it. But I do find it's really fascinating if you're a person that's interested in the magical world and the concept of familiars, that when they come to you, it is particularly powerful. And that happened to me with crows in general and also with birds in general, because I did not grow up with birds, although I loved birds from a distance like many people. And I've had dogs and cats in my life too, and hamsters. There's something particularly different about bird energy. And even Ted Andrews notes it in his book. He talks about the bird medicine versus all the others. Now, I'm not going to say it's better or worse. It's just different. However, I will say that once a bird steals your heart, any bird, you will become a bird devotee. And there is just no going back. My husband, Michael, and I, we talk about that all the time, how just birds overall are just so fascinating to us. And there's just something we really love that's really special about birds. So in this way, I think it did change me on a sort of deeper level. I've also done in a previous show, I've talked about bird augury being a very specific kind of divination. And you'll go into different cultures and you'll see different birds. They range from very small birds like a sparrow to, of course, really big birds like hawks. So there really isn't a caste system in the bird kingdom when it comes to how indigenous cultures view them. It may be associated more with the territory that they live in and what kinds of birds they see on a regular basis. That would be my guess, is why they would sort of dominate that particular tribe or group of people overall. But the dove does cross a lot of religious lines and it's very symbolic and similar in many ways. But one of the interesting things about the symbolism of dove, if you go back to really early times, I knew immediately that the dove is associated with love and peace and with Venus and Aphrodite. However, if you go back a little earlier to the Mesopotamian period, it's also, the dove is a prominent symbol for Inanna and Ishtar, who's not only the goddess of love, sexuality, but also war. So you don't normally think of the dove connected to war, but in a way we have turned it into sort of the pacifism and, you know, striking out against war as a symbol, at least in many countries now. But I thought that was really interesting. And then the other one I found, and I found this in Wikipedia, which I found really interesting, was that the Japanese have a familiar spirit called Hakaman. I don't think I'm saying that right, but it's Hachiman. And it's a divinity associated with archery and war. So that was fascinating. The idea of archery, I wouldn't have thought a dove would be, but I'll have to look into that more in depth. I didn't really have a lot of time to look at it more on its own. So those are some of the symbols. We, of course, got Noah and the flood and the dove being sent and coming back with the olive branch. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit. The dove is associated with the Holy Spirit. And then one of my favorites is wisdom and Sophia. And you don't really think of a dove as being smart like you would a bird like a crow, but they're not. But the idea of wisdom, for me, there's a certain kind of wisdom that comes from life experience and from love. And I think that is more of the symbol of the dove's wisdom, that kind of wisdom. I also think I remember doing with the bird augury show something about doves being connected to astral projection. And so as much as I feel completely strange not having her around and I miss her physical presence, I'm working on connecting to the next level with her, as I feel she is truly one of our family familiars. And I feel it's important for me to try to grow with her death as much as her life. I also had the real honor to hold her when she died. And it was one of our wishes that she was sick for a couple of months, and we did try to treat her as much as we could. And it just wasn't going to happen. And we knew that she was going to die at some point. We were hoping we would be there together, Michael and I. We were hoping she could just die in her own home. And I held her. And one of the things I learned immediately was how easily she slipped out of her body. She really, it was so peaceful and graceful, and her little eyes just closed. It was extremely touching. And having a history with Tibetan Buddhism, where they really emphasize, you know, leaving the body and how you leave, and they know the signs, I'm more open to sort of seeing that happen. And we don't always get those opportunities with our loved ones. I mean, honestly, so I felt it was a real honor to be there for her and to be able to hold her, and that she died in her own home, which she certainly would have liked. And it was the only time, by the way, that she liked her cage. We noticed her balance was getting a little strange, and we were worried about her getting hurt and not just letting her, you know, move around on her own. So I put her, like, her favorite big fat blanket in there, and she loved it. And I think it was because it was safe for her, and she could also look out. We always put our cages by the window, and so she was looking out the window too at the squirrels and their antics. So it was really special to be able to be there with her at that moment and not fear it. It's not the only time I've held a bird that has died, but it's the only time I've held my own bird. I've had that experience with another bird that we've tried to rescue before, and that was the first time. It was a crow that didn't make it, and it was, I was nervous at that time, and Michael encouraged me not to be and just to relax, and that one I had more trouble with it than the bird did. So it's all part of, you know, life is the whole life death cycle. So the other thing that happened on her death was that she died on President's Day, and it's not the first time one of my birds has died on a political day. In fact, on 9/11, one of my finches dropped dead, which I think was the shock of things. And then there was another finch, zebra finch, that died when Arnold Schwarzenegger was elected governor. And I've never really intentionally tried to interpret it, but I did feel it was significant that Sister Claire, because she really had this spiritual connection from when she arrived, and how she really was as a little being, very forgiving and kind, and never held a grudge. Was a little impatient when it came to feeding. When you gave her, she loved peanuts, and you just could never break them up fast enough for her. She had, come on, she'd kind of peck, you know, like, and she had a beautiful singing voice when she was, during her period of time, she was laying eggs, and she'd be singing for a mate. And one of the most unusual things we found was she would sing back to us if we would try to sing the way she would. And it was amazing that she would do that. Unfortunately, I don't think we understood exactly what we were saying to her, but obviously it seemed to please her, because she would sometimes have a long conversation with you. So she was a very interactive little bird. But going back to this idea of dying on President's Day, and one of the things that doves can be associated with is Israel. And you could sort of see why, because of some of the references in the Old Testament and Noah's Ark. So I don't know what that means exactly, other than we have the Gaza war going on. And we have, of course, this year we have a very, very important election. And in fact, more than one important election with the Senate and of course, the president. And we have that coming up. And so I felt perhaps it was, perhaps birds help. Perhaps they go to the other realms to help with what's going on, or it could be seen as some kind of an omen. And if maybe you have an idea of what that means, but I really don't yet. I haven't learned to interpret some of the larger picture omens I have seen over the years. Other than it, the other thing too that was interesting was that day, I think was I think it was the 19th, but whatever day it was added up to 11. Which is the spiritual messenger. And we have another bird that has a whole nother history and story, a little zebra finch that really was also very unusual miracle. And he died 11 years. He was 11 years old on June 11th in 2011. So the birds have this thing with 11. I think I don't normally talk about 11 because it's been over talked about, but you know, you just look and see whatever the number is and talk about it. So I feel like there might be some kind of a spiritual message, and I'll have to sort of meditate on it to sort of see how I feel about what Sister Clara could have been saying. So, but she was just a delight. And not only did she teach me about her own personality and, you know, her the ability to forgive, but I got more interested in doves and pigeons in general. And I think I've always sort of stuck up for pigeons, and, you know, because they're connected, their family relationship, because I've seen people being very abusive to them. And I just don't believe in abusing anything, you know, and I feel like they get a really bad rap. And so that concept, too, of people releasing doves for weddings and other functions, thinking it's a beautiful symbol and it's a death sentence to the dove. And so I've gotten more into a little bit of advocacy, but one of my favorite groups on Instagram and Facebook, they do far more than I do. It's they're called, let's see if I wrote it down. It's the Palomancy, and I did write it down here. Oh, here it is. Palomacy, P-A-L-O M-A-C-Y, Pigeon and Dove Adoptions. And so it's this great group. It's in California. I believe that's their location only, though. They not only rescue and adopt doves and pigeons, but they're huge advocates for both of them, and they will be outspoken. And there was something I remember recently with the racetrack. I forget what was going on with the pigeons. And so I would encourage people to go to their Facebook group or look for people that are really into it. And you'll learn all about how to advocate for these beautiful birds. Perhaps the white doves might get a little more attention than the pigeons, but evidently not, because people are releasing them into the wild like the first person did with our sister Claire, without thinking about, well, can they survive? How are they going to eat? So the thing is that once you fall in love with any of these animals, you want to protect them and help them. And I think they need to get as much attention as owls and raptors and hawks and eagles, which get tons and tons of attention. And I think all birds have something to offer us, from the littlest, tiniest hummingbird. Of course, people do love the hummingbirds, but to doves and pigeons, and they all play a role. And so please learn about what it means to really try to protect these birds, and speak up if you know what, someone's going to get some before a wedding, and not in a critical way, but just to help, you know, people understand that these birds are beings. They're not our objects to toss around, even though, of course, they have deep symbolism, but they're very gentle and loving beings. And so when I hear about that, having lived with Sister Claire for over a decade, it just breaks my heart that people would consider doing it, because, that you know, it's funny how such a small bird can have such a huge presence. That's one of the things that just, and perhaps because she perched in so many different places in our small apartment, I just see her and feel her presence that way, in a way I wasn't really expecting, and I would expect even from a bigger animal, but little beings can have really big presence too. So I want to, you know, perhaps do a little bit more with advocacy. Interesting enough, I've had other friends that have both a crow and a pigeon or dove. They sometimes do go together. And as I was joking about, like, it's like having War and Peace in your home. Though that, I will say, Sister Claire would sometimes really aggravate our crow. She would tend to land on her back, which was definitely not something a crow likes, I don't think. So she, you know, as Lily got older, she was actually quite patient with Sister Claire. And but we did have to kind of keep them separate so they wouldn't accidentally hurt themselves. But they seem to have made some sort of a peace in the last couple years, in terms of not, you know, sort of aggravating the other. When they were younger, it was a little bit different. And I think if they'd grown up together as young birds, that maybe this would not have been an issue at all. And then the other thing is, I did mention earlier, but I did want to emphasize the idea that sometimes I think it's fine to pick an animal to work with, whether you pick it consciously or unconsciously, but there is something very magical when animals pick you. And I know that's actually part of the vision quest, is that when you do sort of a Native American vision quest, is that this idea of an animal coming up to you, and there's a whole sort of process that happens for you. Now, this is, you know, I'm not sure if it's only in the spirit world or really in the physical world. That I think I've heard of stories of both. And then it's similar to the idea that, even though I do love using the oracle cards, the medicine cards, I feel watching for whatever crosses your path in life. If I'm like, we saw a coyote recently coming back from our friend David Oman's house, and it was right off of Santa Monica Boulevard late at night. So it was an unusual sighting. And so then, of course, I thought about, well, what is coyote as we move into the next chapter of our adventure, moving to Bakersfield, which was something that only arose this year as an option because of a variety of things. And to me, the coyote is a bit of a trickster and can represent the fool on some level. So I thought about that. And honestly, I've only seen a coyote three times since I've lived in Los Angeles. So the idea that I don't see it very often, The frequency, however, of seeing something is fine, because sometimes what you'll find, you'll get a deeper understanding of looking at what the bird or the animal is doing. So if I do live in an area where there are, for instance, more doves or pigeons or birds of some kind, it's okay if you see them frequently to still interpret them. You would just get into more complexities about how many and what they're doing and what was I doing overall. But the main purpose of this show was to simply share with you my love of this little being and how she came into my life and really opened me up again to a part of myself that was really a little shut down in terms of how I presented myself to the world. I don't think it was closed off completely to my closest friends. And I would say that she taught me so much about gentleness and kindness and vulnerability. And I hope that I'm really able to and open to whatever her spirit can continue to teach me, because I do feel that being the kind of bird she is, the dove, that there is a genuine spiritual connection I can build with her that certainly does not replace her in any way. I'm always going to miss her physical presence. But as a metaphysical person, I really want to understand more and really experience what it's like to commune with those that have moved on to the other realms, because I know that those realms, I've had enough experience to know they're real. What I'd like to learn how to do is open it up to another level. And I think having Sister Claire there in my dreams, I'm sure she'll come, because I dream a lot about my birds anyway. I really am looking forward to continuing our connection and not to feel a complete loss of her being, because that's just how it is. That's how I feel about her. I think that's what she would want. I'm sure she was really, based on the way she died, I'm really sure she had a good transition. And that made me very happy in that way. Of course, we wanted her to stay longer. How could you not, when you love someone or a bird or a person, you always want them to stay longer. But it is important to feel they had a good transition. And in that way, I think she really had, she was blessed. But I think it had to do with her too. I think she was evolved. I am of the belief that some creatures I've met personally are more evolved than I am. And I, because of that reason, I often don't pick a religious path. It's only a few paths that really, really think that animals are either equal or sometimes better, and that they can be our teachers if we let them. And I certainly know people that have close relationships with their animals feel that they are their teachers. But that is one of the most important tenets for me spiritually. And it was one reason I initially kind of dropped out of Buddhism for a while, because at the time I didn't feel they recognized the people I was with, that they recognized that they're they think humans are better. It's a better life to be in a human life. And I don't agree with that. I don't see it that way. I sometimes joke, maybe if I'm lucky, I'll be a bird in my next life. So then I think, well, what kind of bird would I like to be? So I have a different view, and my husband has a different view, and that's from living with birds for I don't know, now it's been over 2 decades, if you start with Lily, our crow, and they're magnificent beings. So thank you for listening to my tribute to my beautiful Sister Claire, and I hope she visits you, and please be kind to doves and pigeons, and join us next time as we continue to explore the esoteric and the obscure together.